recording now. Okay. I just record. Eric Reynolds is here. Jay is here. Jay Wasserman, Ruben Ibarra, Mayor Pro Tem Rossini, Councilwoman Nicole Jones, myself, Steve Franks, and Captain Patella is here. So we're missing Wayne Zazel and James Hayes.
Perfect. So, no one from the public was out there. No one went out there.
No, we had no public comment. So the minutes are here if you need a copy of them from last meeting. Right. We have to technically approve this. That meeting was February 8th of 2023, early February. They're action minutes. They're not, yeah, they're intended to be not everything that happened, all the discussion. It's just what did you do that took action. So just need to approve them or?
I assume we approve them.
Happy to make the motion.
Second.
Just all in favor, you?
All in favor.
Aye.
Do I have to abstain if I wasn't here?
You don't actually technically have to abstain.
As long as you've read them and it seems
I have read them.
Yeah.
It's all on you anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. It's all about you.
I used to be a deputy sheriff.
So you're up, Captain, for your updates.
I apologize because, like I said, the committee's new to me. I had the update for last night. And I spoke with Steve about what I kind of wanted to bring to this. We previously were provided, because we have our city council meeting is later in the month. And what they've been traditionally doing is providing the month prior's stats. And to me, it doesn't work right in my head because it's not fresh. Mm-hmm. It's not up to date. To me, I want something that is more to the last 30 days, somewhere around there. Reporting on something that happened almost 60 days ago doesn't work for me. So. And I kind of brought that to Steve and said I was going to work on something. So basically the stuff I reported last night was basically the equivalent to like the previous 4 weeks. And that to me is the only way to make sense. If that city council meeting is going to be on that. And obviously this meeting kind of rotates and I'll get the gist of that schedule. But so basically the stuff I put together for last night was the previous 4 weeks. Other than the traffic stats, which is a monthly thing and I can't really rush that or control that or pull that directly out of a CAD system to where it's like readily available. But on the Friday before our meeting, I can go into our system and go type it up and pull out raw data based on calls for service and priority one calls and, you know, particular, you know, crimes that have happened and then get the raw data for that. So that's basically what I presented last night. So do you want me to go over the same thing? So basically, we had 338 calls for service in the previous 4 weeks. 220 of those were proactive calls for service, so patrol checks, active traffic stops, vacation checks. So that leaves 110 assigned calls. So of those 110 assigned calls, I like to kind of weed out the 911 calls because to me those are the real calls for service, right? Mm-hmm. Not that the other ones aren't, but those stand out. And I also want to kind of look at those ones and make sure that are people calling 911 for a good reason, or are they calling for, you know, a noisy lawnmower? And then are other people not calling 911 when they should be calling 911, right? Like we've had a couple incidents where I really, really wanted people to call us and nobody did. And then we have other ones where people are calling 911 for stuff that really shouldn't be, right? And we kind of preach that on the firework call stuff, right, for the 4th of July, when to do it, when not to do it. Surprisingly, not one traffic accident. A couple that were on the fringe of Orange and Villa Park, but they were technically in Orange. Whether they were caused by their activity when they were passing through Villa Park, I don't know. But technically, none in the city boundaries. And I said I do equate that not only to our traffic sergeant, the motor sergeant that's been doing his citation work, but we've actually had a couple people that they want to be future motors and traffic people. So we said, well, we got a perfect place for you to go. So we had 65 like moving citations in that previous 4 weeks. So that's a pretty good activity level for a city that's not, you know, staffed.
Way above normal too, isn't it? It's like, mm-hmm, it's like 40 above normal.
Right. That's not including like the 13 parking tickets too. So and the parkers are probably going to go down with school being out for a while. So and the one thing we really preached on last night is But I noticed in the minutes about crimes of opportunity, these can go down as crimes of opportunity because people leaving their windows open, mm-hmm. getting burglarized, people leaving their purse unattended in the Ralphs, getting their card or wallet stolen. Yeah, that's a crime of opportunity, but what we're really seeing is that people are really, and you can probably back me up on this, they're doing their research and they're scoping out their victims. Just a random, and yeah, it could be just a random, you know, homeless guy walking through and he just happens to see a card unoccupied and a purse and takes it. But a lot of them are like their crews that go around and they look for people that are new, and they go to nice places like this Ralph's, they go to nice neighborhoods like we have here, and they will find people that are not paying attention. And people that post stupid things on social media, like they're going to be gone, or they just have a pattern of behavior. And like I said, luckily the actual stats are still very, very low here, but in the rest of my patrol areas, what I've seen is a lot of people, like people, our burglar crews do their research. They get on social media. Mm-hmm. They look at what people put on Nextdoor. Like if like somebody, this for complete random thing, if somebody got on Nextdoor, I never see a deputy on my street. Well, guess what street's going to get a case next, right? They pay attention to stuff like that, right? So
especially Nextdoor.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Exactly. And you never know who's posting on there.
And they're coming from everywhere. Oh, I think our majors got like four teams that are all going from LA County to Orange County.
Yeah, exactly. And then we talked to them.
Yeah.
Why do you come here? This is where the good stuff is.
Where the good stuff is.
Right. And on my, like I said, our direct enforcement team has been taking down burglar crews left and right, man. We're going to be teaming up with the feds it's more about information sharing. But because the problem we've always done, the good thing about Okayak is that it breaks down the silos of communication. So now we're sharing information, right? It used to be like, no, this is mine, mm-hmm. and we were all operating our own worlds, and it doesn't work that way. You can't do that in today's day and age. The people we're trying to catch aren't doing that. So, that's basically what I presented last night, the reminder on the 4th. As far as when to call 911, we actually had an email today of somebody said, hey, fireworks are illegal in Villa Park. Why are they selling them?
Why is there a stand in Villa Park? It was a resident.
Really?
And he copied me and said, no, it's actually legal and here are the hours.
She actually responded right back to me and said, well, my apologies. I actually checked with city staff. And
she did. She called
are
up.
Are they
she
new said, to
no,
the city?
No.
Oh.
No.
Wow.
Just.
But if you look all around Orange, everything's illegal. Fireworks are illegal. Fireworks are illegal. Yeah. So it's just ingrained that maybe all of Orange County is illegal. So.
There are 10 cities in Orange County that allow it.
Right.
So.
And then the population here grows quite significantly on 4th of July. Streets are...
In a lot of nice places they do.
Yeah.
But I imagine, it's been a while. Yeah, but I imagine there's probably a lot of party calls on the 4th.
Yeah, and then they do...
There are surprisingly few party calls. That's the problem, is that people aren't calling.
Yes. Well, so this is the huge part in Villa Park.
That's the thing you'll get in certain neighborhoods. I mean, people
I don't want to call my next-door neighbor.
Well, they expect
it. I don't want to call so-and-so, et cetera. That's a lot of what happens, and you hear about it after the fact. Oh, it's a war zone. Did you call it? Nah.
Literally, the neighbors will call me. I had a neighbor call me with someone in her house called me instead of... I go, you have to call 911. You have to. You can't call me.
They can't call. They said, well, if I call, can I have your numbers? Look, I can't call me. I can't
People
do anything.
People call me directly. I said, I cannot dispatch a deputy for you. You have to call me.
You have to call. And we should probably do that again and make sure that those newsletters have that.
Yeah, maybe they do. We're doing it on the feeder.
Did you do it on the last feeder?
It's coming out multiple times this week, we're trying to get them special feeders.
And I said that. That's mainly 4th of July stuff. But
you'll be seeing that this week multiple times.
Good.
Yeah, because we've had a lot of complaints about that.
And then, people will come in on the 5th, 6th, 7th. Oh, my gosh, it was terrible on the 4th. Did you call? Well, and I can tell your families, unfortunately, they'll say, oh, it's the friends here, and my sons went out there and played for a while, but then it got out of hand, and da-da-da-da, and you're like, or whatever, and it's like, it doesn't do good to call. That was a question you asked, you have to see it, because the deputies are inclined, they're not going to go knock on doors and say, you had a party at 3 o'clock yesterday, did you light off fire? They're not going to do that.
Human nature, especially on the floor. I think, especially in our area here, we're all freedom-loving Americans, and I think we have a more of a respect for the Fourth, and we expect there to be noise and parties. And I think we're just tolerant as Americans. But if it's just a typical Saturday or Thursday night, I got to work tomorrow. People are gonna call, right? So, but
you can see Villa Park is a difficult time calling.
Your neighborhood south of Collins, you could right down there. You can see it's like Disneyland. Yeah, you can see stuff going on.
Well, and that's what happens too, is on that one on Wand, or no, Fetchin.
Yeah.
Almost half of Orange shows up there, like fireworks off.
On the green belt.
You know,
there,
because you can't, mm-hmm. can't, no one there, no one, you know, the wall hides them, so.
Anyway, so we've got that coming out, so.
Good. So nice, that, I think, with the Fourth coming up, I think we stick with that. We don't want to inundate them, you know, all the other summer activities. We want to encourage vacation checks. We get quite a few of them. I think we did quite a few just in the last couple of weeks. But we actually did have a fire that we responded to on Fernando a couple of weeks ago. It ended up being really minor, but it was like our main, it was actually our only like priority response of that period. I almost texted you on it, but it ended up getting put out pretty quick. It was just, it ended up being pretty minor. But the like I said, the main one we had that one, like I said, I don't want to get too deep into it because it's an active investigation, but we really wanted people to call 911 on a particular call, and it worked out.
Oh, it worked out.
Could have been a lot worse.
The last fire we had on the 4th, I think you were here on the council, it was on Henderson. Somebody put the fireworks as they were extinguished in the trash can.
Awesome. Yeah.
And it blew up the garage. Yeah, and so the roof kind of blew up in the garage. And so the house was, you know,
Added the feeder, that's
a good
nice
kid.
Bucket of water.
He's a good kid.
He is a good kid.
He's a good kid.
I know.
But what happened was it was a mistake. And they just, you know, they didn't think, oh, it's out, and they put it in, and next thing you knew, they came out to get something in the refrigerator, and they see a fire going. So,
I have a quick question. I don't know. I'm always afraid when I'm supposed to ask questions, but on this thing that we sent out, it's not just on 4th of July, right?
Right.
Okay. So what is your thoughts?
But that specifically.
But we also set it out every once in a while. Hey, Paul. What is your thoughts on suspicious persons? You know, I'm big on that.
Oh.
Because that's one of the big problems is that people don't call on suspicious people. And we have had a few issues with that. Right? I know I'm getting called.
It's not just suspicious people, it's just suspicious circumstances.
Right.
Like I preached on last night, I would much rather my guys get here.
I know.
And say, don't worry about it, ma'am. It was actually nothing.
Right.
And trust me, they appreciate that too.
And they all feel better about it. Everybody feels better about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think they need. I think we have to get that back out there. I know we did it like 10 years ago where we said, hey, if you see something, call in, you know. And, you know, business line. You don't have to call 911 unless, obviously, you need to call 911.
Of course.
But I know that the city needs to be reminded of that because they don't call.
Right. And guess what that does? That gets the deputy in your neighborhood.
Yeah, it gets the deputy in there.
And if there is something that you don't even see, guess what? Now it's either deterred or the deputy's going to be there.
And you just give that deputy all kinds of reasons to be somewhere.
Last night.
It's the best thing
ever. And I think that we as a committee and we as council members can, the city staff can continue to foster that message and push it out more and more and more. And just, you know, whether you call 911 or whether you call
the business line,
call.
Well, and you get through the business line really quick.
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And they know, and if they hear the red flags, they're going to
push
it to a higher priority.
Right.
And this happens. We see it all across the board is that people always call somebody else first.
Right.
Yep.
They call their wife, their husband, they call their mom
and
dad.
They call him, they call her, they call him.
What are you?
No.
And it's always, and even when they call you, it's like after they thought about it for 20 minutes. Like,
yeah. You know, we needed that a long time. And that's all, you know, and plus the deputies, you know, that just gives them the greatest excuse to be where they need to be. So
absolutely.
And we need to go out that campaign like we did about a long time ago.
I think people are scared to call on something and have it be completely their wrong.
It's just the craziest thing.
Well, sometimes, though, it's a little extreme. I mean, my friend up on Smoke Tree, like, she went up to her mom's house. They had a flood, and so there was construction. You know, her mom wasn't in the home at the time. But she walks up, there's a broken window. She calls me. Mm. I'm like, call 911. There could be somebody in the house. You know, I mean, why do that? Could we get something in the feeder, like a see something, say something, or whatever the captain thinks is appropriate?
We have it every feeder, there's something in there about calling.
Yeah.
And et cetera. It's just, you know, it is the...
I remember like 8 years ago or 7 years ago, we hit it hard, remember?
Yeah.
And then just put it everywhere. And then put something like this. And then it had suspicious vehicles.
We're crushing it through mid-watch.
Well, we had an incident, you remember this, we had someone, and they thought it was a person in the house, turned out to be a raccoon.
Oh, yeah.
And the person came in and brought food to the city and apologized and said, I never should have called.
Yeah.
They chased it around the house. Like, it took them a while to figure out what it was, because the alarms kept going off.
Oh, yeah.
And so, in the house, and so,
you
know, they came in, they were apologetic, they felt like they should never called, and they brought food for the city staff and for the deputies, saying, I'm so sorry we wasted your time, we should have figured it out. And I was like, you know, hey, you don't need to, that's what they're here for, to go do that.
We call it,
you guys responded.
What's code for? That's good.
You guys responded.
It's
there were like thing, three deputies, three cars at once.
So I tell the guys too, I say, all those kind of calls are practice. It's good practice.
Good. It's awesome
for when it really needs to.
Because, you know, you have places that, and I'm sure getting 100 calls an hour, and, you know, maybe one or two of them are worth going to. You know, you wouldn't get 100 calls in a month here.
Okay, so Neighborhood Watch, obviously Wayne's not here. He just wanted to let us know we're over 300 in the total inventory or what roster they have. I guess they call it roster. And they send out flyers. Mary sends out regular updates, and she's very aggressive about it. So, but they're over 300 right now, so that's all you had to report.
To give you an idea, when this committee first started, they started ramping it up. And I think within 2 years, they got to 200. So now we're up to 300. That's huge. That's a massive gain in participation through Neighborhood Watch. So they're doing great work.
And
they
are.
Keeping it apolitical and just focusing on participation and crime suppression and prevention. So it's great.
So the next item is the license plate readers. We've had presentation, Flock has been out and he presented, the council had an opportunity to be presented as well and ask questions. So really, this is something Leah had asked to have some presentations and discussions. Now it's kind of, what do you guys want to do with it now? Where do we go? You know, I mean, is it something you want? My recommendation is, if we do move forward, you really do need to do a public sort of forum, discussion, workshop, town hall, whatever you want to call it. And that needs to be, not only you need to have that in the chambers, but then streamed and run on the internet so people have a chance to interact and react. The downside is we are now at the summer months where people aren't paying attention as much or whatever. You probably, if you're going to do it, you probably want to do it September-ish, early September would be the best when people are back in school, etc. But it depends on what does the group want to do and recommend. I leave that up to you guys. And you initiated it to get it started. We've done that, you know. You guys have a chance, and now's your chance to talk about it and decide what you want to do next with the...
You know, I think that's up to the committee to make the call, but if last meeting's attendance was indicative of people being around and being a part of it, we had a pretty robust attendance for Frackleton's Distinguished Citizen Award, and then we had some spirited discussion on the variant. So I think people are still around. I wouldn't be opposed to having a public hearing now, because then if the city council is going to make decisions based upon it, there has to be, in essence, another public hearing in front of the council. So that, correct me if I'm wrong, would be like two public hearings on the matter, and the council's been briefed. What is everybody's thoughts on that?
I would like to wait until after summer. I mean, we did have quite a few people for Robert Frackleton's Distinguished Citizen that were like, I'm sorry, I can't come. We would have had even more people. And you always hate to have the sentiment
He's a lifelong resident.
Yeah.
It's an anomaly.
I just stayed at the post.
But you hate to have the citizens say that we are trying to slip something through over the summer. You don't want that.
Well, how much opposition was there to it?
Basically, the end of summer.
There was no opposition, but we haven't done
meeting, is
any public. We've only done
right. Yeah, yeah. So we could do something.
We did it before.
So August.
Back in school.
Because we go back to school early this year, like the 16th.
So maybe August. I'd say August.
Could maybe even do the week before the council meeting?
Yeah, maybe
people are in a different...
We're back at school pretty early.
Yeah, no, I can set something up, but I'm just, you know...
Yeah. Let's do August. If I would...
I mean, but then the question is, what do you... I mean, my recommendation would be you have somebody from Flock or somebody there.
The other question I am explaining to everybody.
I'm getting from each of the council members, what do the other jurisdictions have? And I talked to City Manager Orange, and they do not. They're not moving on it.
Right.
So Orange does not have it. Anaheim does have it. But
you guys have it.
Well, we don't have anything. The cities that we contract
with have it. That specific.
Some of the cities do. Some not all.
I believe some of them might have the other. I forget what the name of it is. We as a department.
Vigilant.
Yeah. We don't recommend it. We recommend license plate readers. Mm-hmm. We think this the type of system is very helpful investigative-wise, mm-hmm. but we don't recommend it. Then.
And technically, we would have to do a. If we were to go out, we would have to do a.
Oh, a vendor.
That's just. You can't go any other way.
So, it's interesting that you're saying that Orange and. What was the other city?
Anaheim does have it, but Orange does.
Right, because the Flock representative said that Orange was getting close.
You did. You said that. He said, I couldn't make the last meeting, but
the first one.
Yeah, the first one.
I talked to the city manager, and he's flat out said no, and he's talked to his police chief.
He said they had one.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, because I asked him, I go,
can't represent with the Flock. I said, I just know that. I would put money on what the city manager said.
Oh, absolutely.
And I talked to a council member at Orange. They said they're not going to.
Yeah. Well, I think that to make it simple... To make it simple here is...
It's really money. They're having a lot of issues.
They're facing a structural budget deficit, and so their focus is getting
body-worn
cameras.
And
they're also behind on getting all their vehicles out.
With all due respect, that city's in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, a world of hurt. Staffing for law enforcement, budgetary issues, all kinds of issues.
Housing plan.
Yeah, they're...
But in essence, so... That's going to be something that needs to be explained when you have a workshop, because if somebody drives through Villa Park, gets red, and the explanation you and I had discussion last night, do they go into a black hole because we're a donut in Orange, and is it disappear? I understand what you're saying, but the residents don't understand. They're not going to understand, well, what happens if, you know.
So I think probably this committee should either decide whether or not they think it's a good idea to have or not have. And whenever it wants to be brought up by the city council, it gets brought up by the city council. I mean, I'm doubting anyone in here says it's a bad idea.
Quick question. So we've only had the presentation for Flock. Mm-hmm. What happens if we go out to bid? Does Vigilant bid and we could end up with Vigilant, even though we've only heard from Flock?
There may be other. I don't know if there are other bidders or not. I don't know. The technology's growing. But technically, by law, we can't. Because the contract would be large enough that we can't.
So should we get a presentation from Vigilant so we know what we're getting into?
Flock was the one that was most prevalent.
I thought that was the one that the sheriff used the most.
Well, the sheriff doesn't use anything.
It's the cities.
Yeah, the contract cities.
I could be misquoted.
Completely saying anecdotally, I don't know if anybody has Vigilant or not, but I've heard the name and I couldn't tell you who has it.
I know Tustin did prior to 2020. I don't know if they still do.
I know Flock has sold a lot.
So I guess
are the county cars, any county cars have a system or no?
The county car system is different. It's an LP, a license plate reader system.
Right.
So, and like I said, I'd have to do some more technical research on that, but it's not connected to Flock.
So just a question, which I just, if you do have two different systems, do they still communicate to one another? So if Orange were to go and get Vigilant, do they communicate with Villa Park if we have Flock? I don't know. Is that technology?
I think different companies are going to keep their data separate.
But that's not, I mean, for the deputy's purposes is what we're trying to do as law enforcement, right? Mm-hmm. And you want a database. And if you're creating a database, you don't want to have...
Put it this way, law enforcement can get access to both.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I have access to both.
Great. Yeah. I don't,
and the future is basically real-time data.
Correct.
And the systems that we were putting in place are going to be able to gather data from basically all systems. That,
so
that grant us access.
If that's the case, then what the system's really doing, what the companies are really doing, is the hardware that they're marketing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because if data is universal or cloud-based or whatever, they're, you know, universally accessible, then there may be a bit license. You're paying for licenses to get access to data, but otherwise, you're paying for the hardware, the installation.
When you query Flock or Vigilant, you got to query them separately, right? You can't put it in one query for both.
Correct. Yeah, I think. Well, as a detective, you're going to have access to both.
Correct.
Well,
but you're probably
going to have access to both if you're like the county and they participated in. Obviously, you have two different cities using both.
Flock is much more prevalent in Orange County.
Yes. Yeah.
By a massive amount.
See, I don't know if the LPRs that on our units are Vigilant brand. I don't know what brand those are.
Yeah, because that's how ours works the most successful, is off of cars and county vehicles that have.
Well, we have those hits, but we also, the best, those are mainly used for, like, say, vehicles that you've already put in the system,
mm-hmm.
or mainly stolen vehicles, which is not a, that's not a huge concern mm-hmm. anymore. So the best thing about a license plate reader or a Flock type thing is that you can get those vehicles moving in an area, and then whether they're in Orange or not, say it ends up into Anaheim or Yorba Linda, well, guess what? We're hitting up on those cameras too. So and there's a lot of investigative tools that they can use.
So what we've been told, talking to other city managers, you're probably talking anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 installation, and annual license fee to maintain, et cetera, is about $3,000 on each of the respective
cameras.
Because, you know, you've got maintenance issues of, you know, if something goes wrong, et cetera, I mean, I can't fix it. You know, you've got to have somebody from the company go out and make sure. And it's internet connectable, so they've got, you know, all that kind
of stuff. One camera will only get one lane, correct?
So
two.
Yeah, that was a question.
You get one direction.
Yeah.
In one direction.
In one direction.
So you have
right.
to go.
Right.
So you have multiple directions.
So yeah, I asked the Flock representative, like, for example, let's take Taft and Santiago, for example. They could put one on Taft and Santiago, but then you need ingress and egress. So the next one, he said, would probably be at Taft and Smokewood to get them going the other direction. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise we run into City of Orange right there.
Mm-hmm.
So every area would need two, but they do get two lanes. And I said, what about the third lane for the turn lane, for example? Would you want to capture those people turning on the border of Villa Park? And he said, well, then you might need an extra camera if you want to.
But you should be getting that in that lane before the turn anyway.
You're right. Well, they're not that far down though. Like, we wouldn't be able to get them.
I think the whole one direction is capable with those, one whole direction. Unless, of course, someone rides in the middle lane the whole entire time. Because even from Smokewood, which is, how far is that?
It's right across the street from the high school, basically.
So
right across from the student parking
lot. Yeah, I would think you would get it.
Oh, but yeah.
For sure.
You would.
Both directions.
Yeah.
So that's basically, you know, to get both directions, one intersection is four cameras, right? One.
Well,
to get both directions
orange.
This way, and then
interestingly enough,
yeah.
to just put it, we don't own that full intersection.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we don't own the full light. We
don't,
only
don't
own
turn on red arrow
midpoint.
Over there.
That's what the accidents you were just talking about mm-hmm. when you said they're not on the border. So mm-hmm. that's why you see orange responding to the traffic accidents at Taft and Santiago, because halfway out the street we're done, and you guys are done, and you know that you do traffic control or whatever, vice versa, but it's not. So it would have to be a cooperative agreement, unless you just pulled it back and didn't do it. You know, you did it just to cover the streets in Villa Park.
You certainly could do that.
Yeah, which would be
another city.
Which would you want?
That.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So you could minimize the number, but you're mm-hmm. not going to get the other side of it. You're not going to get the far side traffic
mm-hmm.
on Santiago, because that's
all of it.
All of it. None of it.
You won't get
any of it. We don't own any of it. We at the midpoint of that mm-hmm. street, we're done. So if you only have two lanes, if it covers two lanes, right?
Right.
You're only going to get the northbound Santiago. You will not get southbound. Absolutely can't get it from what Mm-hmm. What guy said, I think, right. As I understood it.
No, and I clarified that with him. I had a phone, separate phone call.
So unless Orange would do it or agree to let us put one there, we wouldn't have that. I mean, they would do it, I'm sure. Sure, asked them, but it would be an issue of we'd have to get some sort of agreement with Orange, and you know they're not going to say no probably, but they're not going to pay for it either. Mm-hmm. You know, that's clearly not their MO. Mm-hmm. But then the other issue is, and that was an issue, you have to identify which streets, because there's a lot of entry points in Villa Park. Right. So you're going to talk about Meats, you're going to talk about Villa Park Road, you can probably hit one side of Collins. I mean, you've got different access points that you can get through here. Cannon, you know, you've got a lot of, that they can potentially get to Villa Park, like,
yeah,
without being... So if you did, for instance, Taft and Santiago, and you did Catella and Villa Park Road and Santiago, somebody could literally drive down from Orange, turn in behind Rouse, and never be seen, never be picked up.
Well, and they could come over Summit Ridge.
So you have to be careful.
You know, there's a lot of places.
You have to figure out what makes the most sense for the volume.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and Collins and Wanda, I mean, that would be a perfect intersection.
Right. Yeah. Again, we only have the one side, so we'd have to. You know, you got to think. It has to be thought through and figure out where your high volume is. And we do have volume. We do record of what the traffic is on each street, so we can kind of tell. But I mean, you got to be careful. You're not going to catch everything. You're going to have to. You can't. And unfortunately, Villa Park has so many access and whatever points.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I spoke with him, he recommended 10 cameras to start, which would basically give us like 5 intersections at key points. He mentioned Taft. He mentioned Santiago.
I'd love to sell 10 cameras myself.
Yeah. But then he said then like a phase 2 rollout would be once we see the effect of those cameras, then we would plug the holes. You know, where are we seeing, like, you know, oh, they got in this way, or we think they got in this way, or whatever. And then that would be a phase 2.
The reality is crooks are smart, but they're not that smart. They still take the freeway. They still take large arteries to get to and from the freeways and the toll roads. So,
but you tell them the cameras there, and they wouldn't even care.
Yeah, I don't think that necessarily trying to put up a force field around Villa Park is the answer. I think it's incremental steps to get us in a safer position. It creates points in time, and it creates breadcrumbs to where these individuals are coming from and where they're going, where the next burglary is. And I mean, we could wire ourselves and become paralyzed by overanalyzing this.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is we're looking at $2,500 a camera, according to a buddy who's checking into it for his HOA.
So Flock told us $3,000.
And we already have... We already have, but it's negotiable, we already have one Flock camera in Villa Park. I don't know if anybody knew that. There's already one in. HOA. It's in an HOA.
Hmm.
Over here.
Over here?
Guess where?
Smoke Tree?
Nope.
Or Joshua
Up Tree. Up Lemon, turn right on Mesa. What's that development right there?
Martinique?
Yes, exactly. Okay. There's a Flock camera right there already. Hmm.
Have they gotten any hits?
Yeah, I was going to say, they got any history on it?
They had issues in the past. I don't know what their history is. Okay. I don't know. There's already one there.
And they're using it for themselves, or do they?
Assume,
yeah. A lot of HOAs use them.
Yes.
Well, I know, but they're not giving the county the access to it?
I'm sure they are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can gain access to it.
So two things come to mind hearing this, and this is all good information. Number one, if we're going to go with a system, and let's just pretend it's Flock, we should encourage other HOAs to maybe participate in the system and do their own, because economies of scale, we might be able to drive those prices down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, just like we do on motors and stuff, right, we ought to have a guaranteed buyback on our equipment, because with AI out now and all this and that, I think there's going to be some pretty big technology jumps.
It's with a 3-year deal that we've gone through. It's a 3-year deal. Just real quick. Martinique is not an official, it's a conglomerate, Rich Elmer, and I've talked about this. So it's just the homeowners got together and decided to do it. The only real homeowners association as a unit that's incorporated or whatever is the one over here.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's only one
right over there. But you're right, they do put the money in, because we own the mount where they put it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to come and talk to me and ask me to put it, if it was okay to put it there. But they have a 3-year requirement. where you have to sign up for a 3-year deal. Now, again, it could be negotiable. I don't know. The problem is we're not going to be a high volume in their business. We're just not going to be. Even if you have 10 cameras, $3,000 each, just rough, that's $30,000. That's just not going to break the bank for them, and they're not going to say, well, tell you what, we'll give it to you for whatever. We have had some luck with smaller contracts and saying, hey, we could be a flagship, whatever.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not the flagship because Lake Forest and some of these other cities have already done it. So we're probably going to, I'm talking to some of the reps and things and the city managers. They've negotiated it down pretty much where you're going to get to, anywhere from $2,500 to $3,000 for the insulation. And then the ongoing fee, the license fee, that is what it is. That's what they're claiming because of the internet capability, et cetera. They're paying for
that's all included in the camera, right?
Or it's a $3,000 annual subscription fee.
Yeah,
license fee type. Yeah, of thing.
There's a little bit more one-time cost, for instance.
Right. The installation.
So it's $3,000 and then $3,000.
Yes. It's $3,000.
$3,000 for the initial kick-in, but then you're roughly talking
$150 per camera, $650 per pole, and if you need Department of Transportation installation, that's $1,900.
That's just the insulation, and then the ongoing maintenance and licenses is what they get.
Okay.
Yeah.
The key thing is that if we do it, and then now, guess who's a black hole? Orange. Mm-hmm. That puts pressure on Orange to put their priorities right. And candidly, that should be a priority for them, for a city that is candidly a target. It's a great city, and there's a lot of wealthy neighborhoods there. There's a lot of wealthy businesses. It's a force multiplying tool for a department that's strapped for personnel. They're getting picked off left and right by other agencies, so they need as much help as possible, and they need to make it a priority. If their council chooses not to make it a priority, then they can answer their constituency.
Yeah, but they're so big, though. I mean, they could put 100 cameras in and not adequately cover their city.
That's the problem.
How many HOAs do they have?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They might be able to do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think we should get back to the discussion at hand, which is...
just whether we like it on the board or we don't.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the city council is the one who's going to end up...
I wouldn't have brought it up if I didn't want to see it go.
No, I know. But that's what I'm saying. That's all we're here really to do today is at the end of the day say we're all for it. So
I think we should definitely present it to the residents. You know, we tried to do this before. My husband was on the technology committee that they had years ago when they talked about doing a virtual gate. And ultimately, the residents didn't want it. They had a lot of privacy concerns. But, we are in a different time now. And so I would love to present it to the residents and have them weigh in.
I think times have changed, and I was on that technology committee too.
Yeah, with Chris. Yeah.
So, do we know how many cities in the county have LPRs? Strictly for what we're trying to accomplish, not on vehicles for really parking enforcement and things of that nature.
Flock told me that he had less, somewhere in the range of 10 to 15, but I can't tell you from the
job. I wrote down...
I want to say 10 to 15 that they have. That doesn't mean that there isn't another,
10 to 15 what?
And do we know, and I guess from an investigative perspective, how many your detectives, if you know, I mean, do they get into that system a lot?
Every day.
I wrote down some of the cities: Anaheim, Fullerton, San Clemente, Lake Forest, Buena Park, San Juan Capistrano, Laguna Hills, Laguna Niguel, and then further out, Eastvale, Chino, Lake Elsinore. But they have 23 out of 26 cities in Riverside County.
Wow. And it gets the element that's passing through your city.
Right. And it's got a check
with it. That stands a perfect example. They have Beach Boulevard runs a whole stretch. Mm-hmm. And they are picking off.
I talked to their city manager. Their big success rate is picking up chop shops, because that's what they have on Beach Boulevard. That's been the biggest.
503 Central.
And all those people that are in those cars are doing something else.
We use that thing extensively and find everybody. If you got a plate and that person's a suspect, you're gonna basically find out where they live over there. 4 or 5 week period. That's the big thing too. Is also that's why I was asking how many ASAP cars you guys have, because the ASAP, the way ours works is it works with ASAP. So, we'll get cars in intersections, and then 2 days later, we'll get a car close to that same intersection. You know how it works. And then you just finally narrow it down after 3 or 4 weeks, and you're getting pretty close to the house.
Right. Real quick, because the flock representative didn't have a good answer for me. What percentage would you say are like either like fake plates, swapped plates, covered plates?
I mean, we get cold plates pretty frequently. It's very common for the guys to take a plate, usually off of a similar vehicle, and put it on to the vehicle that they are driving or stole. Mm-hmm. So you have basically two stolen things. You have a stolen plate and the stolen vehicle that goes to somebody else. So that's pretty common. I can say a percentage.
But you're still following that stolen plate. Mm-hmm. So that stolen plate is still leading you to the same thing.
How often do they turn those vehicles over, though? Do they use them for a while?
Well, like you said before, in my you know, experience in this whole job, is that they're lazy, and they think, okay, well, I've swapped the plate. We're done. They're not going to find us. We swapped the plate, right? They don't realize that, you know, that every single day that plate's getting red. And if you were to swap it back and forth and put it on different cars and all over the place, like you said, most of those cars are, you have a white Expedition, and you steal a plate from white Expedition, put it on your white Expedition, which is now a good plate, and that plate's bad. But you're still tracking both, now you're tracking both those plates.
I mean, and I see two sides of this, because you have the investigative tool that's kind of delayed.
Yeah, delayed.
But then I see it more, and I think we see it, this is the, kind of that real time, something bad just happened, and God forbid it's something, a kidnapping or, you know, an active shooter or who knows, but something needs to happen right now, or something else bad is going to happen, or something worse is going to happen. And that this gives us that tool in the field right now to be able to track where that vehicle is going. Mm-hmm. There's no time to change plates. There's no time to switch cars. Mm-hmm. They're on the run, and they're not going to stop in Orange. They're going to keep going, and they're going to pass by another camera. And guess what? We're going to track them, and then we're going to get the world towards where that vehicle is going.
Heading, yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually it's coming across the system somewhere.
God forbid somebody's in the backseat of that car, and if that thing gets away, maybe they're dead within 24 hours. I don't know. That, to me, that's the thing I envision. That was a different company. There's a story out of, I think there's a shooting in Atlanta, mm-hmm. where they basically combined all these systems and took down an active shooter within minutes rather than, you know, hours.
And unfortunately, we have had events at our local high school recently that, without getting any details, as a parent, would make me very, very upset. Mm-hmm. Very, very upset.
So do we need a motion to forward this on to the council as a recommendation to go to public and all that?
I think we just agree, right?
Well, no, it probably doesn't hurt to have that unanimously agreed, or whatever you did, or whatever, you know, whatever the vote is, or whatever.
I moved it to move it on.
All right. Good. Second.
All right. We're all in agreement?
Okay. Yes.
The next item was the fentanyl and SB 44, and Eric and I were just talking about that. It's dying in committee up in Sacramento for various reasons, and they're iteration, and they're mending it, and by the time it's all done, it's going to be pretty much watered down to the point of value. But that being said, there are a number of things that are happening on the fentanyl front. I know that there is the 20th, I think.
Yeah, July 20th. July 20th. Supervisor Wagner.
Supervisor Wagner is putting on one over at the college here. 6 o'clock. I want to say that we'll be putting in the flyer at something.
I don't remember.
That'll be in our feeder this week. So, again, you know, we'll be starting to push a little bit more on that in our feeder type of thing, encouraging people to attend.
Yeah.
Then I believe the school district is looking at the opportunity of doing something in the fall when school returns to session.
In September.
Sometime there. They would like to have something at the high school. Obviously, they'd get the sheriff involved. And however they want it, I don't even remember what you call it, the stuff they distribute.
Narcan.
They would instruct how to, you know, give that, and people walk away with a dose or whatever. So that's going to happen. But I guess what I would encourage is you guys to at least attend or support or something, because, you know, you guys are the ones that are the first responders and have dealt with it, and, you know, et cetera. So I would encourage you guys to, like, sort of strongly support it, however that means, whether it's personal, social media, whether it's active, you know, talking to your colleagues or whatever the case may be. I think that, you know, the city sent out a letter on SB 44 and it just, you know, so did half the cities in California and got nowhere, unfortunately. I don't understand that one, but that's just me and the political process.
Well, I've had one kid OD in my classroom, not on fentanyl, but it's coming. And I know fentanyl's on campus. I had a student who was dealing it.
Did you have Narcan in your classroom? Or able?
You want to hear the dumbest thing in the world? So I've been training a Narcan through the department. I took the OUSD Narcan training, and guess what? They don't give us Narcan. It's like, well, why did you train us if you're not going to give it to us? Okay, so that's besides the point.
No, there's no more liability.
In a class I took not very long ago on fentanyl for us, right?
The Good Samaritan.
The narcs that were teaching this were telling us that, you know, the variants now are not only extraordinarily more powerful even than carfentanil, but like the omefentanil is so different that Narcan doesn't work on it.
Does double dosing work?
No. It's the the atoms or molecules are so small that they are not affected, and it is so strong, if you get hit with it, you're just gone. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
The tolerance for it too. So there's guys that we've saved multiple times, but like the fourth time, we could dump a bucket of Narcan.
Yeah, the changes they're making chemically to it is they're moving that so fast.
Now fentanyl, I mean, it's the hot topic now, but supposedly, according to our guys, it's kind of taking a back seat to, I can't remember the dang technical name, but basically it's that tranquilizer.
The zombie drug?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that stuff is very inexpensive to make, and that stuff, Narcan ain't helping with that stuff.
Yeah, and I don't think Narcan works at all with it.
No,
and
it's not even compatible.
No matter what you're doing, it's just a few uses and then you're not going to make it out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, which why, you know, why we all should go to this, but the biggest problem is they're throwing it in everything. Mm-hmm. So you don't even know when you're getting it.
Yeah, right? they're saying all the illicit drugs made in Mexico now, they're adding fentanyl to everything.
Right. Because now the problem is that, you know, we're, you know, everyone in here is a dealer and you know, all these people are going, well, no, I'm going to Steve's because at least three or four people, you know, kicked it.
We're gonna water down. You
know, I don't want
spike it with this.
Yeah, I don't want the watered down version.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's pretty prevalent in the schools. My kids can tell you where you can get it.
Yeah,
it's on every campus. It's not, it's junior high campuses. It's not even limited. They can tell you, don't go there. That, you know, oh yeah, Dad, I could get that if I wanted to within seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Not names of people, but they know where to go on campus and how to even identify who has it and all that. It's scary. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I didn't.
It is. It is. Pretty
they call Olu the pharmacy.
Huh?
Yeah.
Olu. They call it the pharmacy.
But Olu's. Well, I guess.
No, it's. I know.
They're gonna have whatever. It's gonna be laced anyway. So
they know where it is. They know where it is on campus. They won't tell you who, and they don't know maybe who it is doing it, but they know how to get to it.
Yeah.
They know how to get to it, and a lot of stuff. So getting it into schools, the education for parents, I think that's really important, I think.
Why won't the school that you use the Narcan?
I have no idea.
I thought they were supposed to be putting it in every classroom.
Yeah.
Supposed to be, and actually
do. You carry your partner one, or what?
Well, I mean, our fentanyl on our boats are in our first aid kits, so we don't even carry it on us.
Oh, really?
Well, that's what I really like about this event that's happening in July is they're actually giving it to the attendees. So it's all put on by the Orange County Board of Supervisors.
And I'm not even sure if I got my own and brought it to school if they would poo-poo me if I used, even though I've been trained by the school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, they operate in ways that make no sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's another story.
School district, unfortunately, we don't have much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, the bottom line is I would encourage you guys to support if it's attending, social media, whatever you can do, friends, encourage them to go and get to the information that we have at City Hall. We're getting it on a feeder. We're pushing it out, but I would encourage you guys to push it out too, because I think the more that people are aware, I mean, when my kids told my wife just kind of raised her eye, like, what? You know where to get it on campus? Yeah. Do you want some, Mom? I mean, it's like, it's not uncommon.
It's this omefentanil that is the most scary to me right now.
because molecularly it's so small, it bypasses what the Narcan will do.
They call it by different names too. The kids have names and stuff.
Oh yeah, they all have their own names.
And emojis.
Mm-hmm. And
yes. But at the end of the day, they're not. They don't know which.
No, they
which
don't
strand
know.
They're getting anywhere. Yeah, it's just they're calling it all fentanyl. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, right. or the zombie drug. It's still, you know.
Yeah.
They don't even have enough organization to say, oh, this is, you know, this is going to be this type. This is going to be this type. This is going to be this type. They're just mm-hmm. mixing everything with mm-hmm. everything.
Exactly. And China they're just shipping it. China sells the precursors to Mexico. Yeah. Mexico just makes it all.
Ships it and ships
well,
it.
And ordering online too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think they're ordering Oxy online, mm-hmm. and it's
that's one of the whatever. Biggest ones, I think, is the problem is the Oxy one, because people think they're just using Oxy. Mm-hmm. It's not mm-hmm. at all.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all we have, unless someone else has something else.
Nope.
I did have a question. Do we have an ordinance on blocking the sidewalks?
Yeah.
We do. Are we going to look at enforcing that? Because because I'm in Orange, I'm starting to see it.
On which one? On the
flags here at the corner?
He's got 48 inches. We've measured. He's got 52 inches. You have to have 48. He's got 52.
He does. Because okay. he's literally at the corner.
I know. We've physically gone out and measured it.
Okay.
And we do that. So we because and then we got the guy. By the way, I don't know if you're enforcing it. Good luck. He's an attorney.
Yeah.
Nationwide, and he's going to sue your butt off. Yeah. So you have to make sure you are following the rules.
Oh, yeah,
to the law.
No, that's
and
right.
He's wired.
And funny, he sold Obama things years ago. So he's
I was
going to
say, I
Obama.
Heard he has a Biden one in Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. It's all about money.
It's all about money.
No, and I don't care. And the reason
we do enforce it, it's got to be over 500 feet. So that's why he's on the corner, because he's got to be away from school. So we've measured exactly. We know where at the Dunkin' Donuts he has to be. Uh-huh. So, I mean, Bill, we've gone through
and
this.
And he knows.
He knows it, too.
Most importantly,
he knows it, too.
All right. No, and the reason I bring it up is suddenly there's a significant increase in Orange with...
That's the only place in Villa Park you physically can have it. Okay. Because it's got to be away from the schools. It can't be in residential mm-hmm. by the state code. So literally that's the only spot.
It's shrinking the curve.
What concerns me about Orange is that there...
There's a lot of taco stands now
coming
out.
Those taco stands are linked to other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not mom and pop taco stands. They're funded by organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly.
Are they doing other
all right,
things?
Well, I appreciate that. Just making sure.
So we do it.
It's got locked down.
We got somebody selling fruit and stuff on Taft and Center, and we shut them down. And they came
really?
Back. And they came back the next day figuring we wouldn't enforce the deputies were out 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Figure, no, they got us one day. We won't come back the next day.
So it's 48 inches from the street?
Yeah, it's handicapped accessible.
All you got to do is call the health department.
All you got to do is provide 48 inches. So we measure him. He's 52. He knows. He's got his ruler out there. He did it. I mean, both sides. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It
didn't look like 48 inches from the
He's got to be making it good.
Well, I mean, each day they
they
come out. We have to go out. I mean, and they'll push it down, and you go out, so you got to move them back. You can't move them off. You can move them back.
Right.
Because he's got the right to be there. And that's thank you, state law. That's a state law.
Another fine example of how Sacramento is meddled
it's
in
law. On the sidewalk. Just
the food, we are fortunate we don't have food vendors. If you go to, I was driving down, we have our mechanic over there on Beach, and oh my gosh, it's like, they've got full-on restaurants.
You mean the 22 on Beach? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they've got full-on restaurants. Oh, I mean, these are not taco stands. These are huge. They're big ones.
Bristol and Santa Ana, it's like restaurant after restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, on the corners, they're like, they've got full-blown gas stoves and
bubbles. And the restaurant owners are so upset because they have to comply with
pay rent.
All the rules.
Department of Health.
Permits.
The Orange
brick and mortar
that comes up pretty regularly.
But there is a state law that allows them to be doing this. So that's a very big frustration with the cities. I know that Santa Ana's having a difficult time with it.
Big time.
And their retailers are all really upset.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're paying rent.
As they should be.
Yeah.
The one up by the mall, I mean, the thing is like 30 feet long. It's massive commercial.
Sadly, there are links to other organizations and a lot of these sidewalk vendors.
Mm-hmm.
They're not mom and pop organizations. No. They're not somebody who's just trying to get by.
No, you can tell.
And that is not something that is being looked at heavily enough.
So, yeah. we actually require this guy to have a business license. That's what you can do. Okay. He has to comply, and we have those rules. Unfortunately, we cannot curtail what he puts out there. So the language is a free speech issue, unfortunately, because we've gone through that. And it's pretty crass and vulgar what he puts out there. And we have to go out there and say, you know, look, guys, you have kids here. Walk in the corner. Can you, like, you know? And sometimes the guys will agree because they're paid workers, hourly workers that are out there. They're not owners. But then we talk to them, and I guarantee you within 24 hours we're getting a phone call from the guy who has the thing saying, you can't tell me what to put out and not put out because they call their boss. So it is a challenge to enforce, I'm just going to tell you. So good luck.
Have we had any counter-protest type issues or anything like that yet?
We did for a while. We had somebody selling Biden stuff last year. They had right next to each other. They were dueling sales.
They dueled it up.
Just kind of gave up.
I worked for the same guy.
They probably worked for the same guy. Probably did, too.
They gave up, and they just stopped showing up.
Working both sides, man.
It is what it is.
Throw a swing at me. We'll make it look good.
Put it on Instagram.
I'm going to go out there right now with my measuring tape. Stand by.
Well, you know what? Sure. All good. You know, we take pictures.
Because this is fourth year?
Yeah, he's been doing it for about 4 or 5 years.
Because when it first came out, that everybody was losing their
2019, 20.
And everyone just finally came up with the solution is, we can't do anything.
Well, I mean, it's there's a state law. I mean, the guy will read you line and verse from the state law. It's pretty incredible. You're not dealing with somebody. This guy's done his homework. I mean, he knows he came in, they applied for a business license.
We probably couldn't afford the lawsuit.
It's just a moneymaker.
It is. It's a moneymaker. Yeah. It's all about money. It has nothing to do. It literally has nothing to do with the campaign. It's what sells.
Why would you buy that stuff from there, people?
I never see anybody there.
Don't feed the bears.
Donut side.
All right. All right.
We
appreciate that.
We're good. All right. All right.